Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Teachers in Sitka have a new contract. The Sitka School Board Tuesday approved a three-year deal with the Sitka Education Association. The union represents 116 certified teachers. Under the terms of the deal, the school district will double its budget for professional development from $15,000 to about $30,000. The money will include funding to send teachers to professional conferences or to let them take online classes. The deal also includes wage increases of about $800 a year for each section of the district's salary table. It works out to an annual increases of about 1.5% to 2%. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says the district agreed to pay the increase in order to help teachers keep up with the cost of living. Bradshaw says in order for the district to recruit and retain talented teachers, it has to offer competitive wages. A first-year teacher in Sitka with a bachelor's degree earns about $46,000. A teacher at the top of the pay scale with a master's degree, 21 or more years of experience, and more than 32 credits of coursework beyond their master's can expect to earn about $80,000. The district also will begin to pick up a greater percentage of health insurance, eventually moving to cover 90% of the premiums by the last year of the contract. Bradshaw says that puts Sitka in line with common practices at school districts around the state. At the same time, the Sitka School District is considering cuts to positions as it works out a very tight budget for the next year.
So I understand when people have concerns about, well, why are they giving pay raises when they're cutting the budget? But there hasn't been a year here that I've been aware of, nor has there been a year in my educational career of 37 years where we haven't had to, you know, cut budgets in some fashion.
The teachers' union is one of two in the district. Bradshaw says negotiations continue with CESPA, which represents about 70 people, including secretaries, aides, and other support personnel. Herring seiners in Sitka launched a cooperative fishery on Wednesday in an attempt to salvage what remains of the 2013 sacrose season. So far, in three competitive openings, fishermen have landed just 5,600 tons of herring, leaving almost 6,000 tons still to go. As in 2012, this year's herring began spawning shortly after seining opened, dramatically reducing the numbers of unspawned females whose egg skeins are the money-making product of the sacrose fishery. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
This year's commercial sacro herring fishery in Sitka opened on a Wednesday. On Thursday, there was another commercial opener, but there was spawning visible on 2 miles of shoreline. On Friday, there were 11 miles of spawn. By Saturday, when managers opened a third and final commercial opener, 18 miles of spawn. On Sunday, 28 miles. Bill Davidson is the Southeast Regional Management Coordinator for Commercial Fisheries with the state.
With a major spawning event like that, there aren't many opportunities to harvest pre-spawning herring.
Overall spawning miles eventually reached 42. As spawning began to taper, Davidson and other managers knew that the chances for completing this year's commercial catch were becoming remote. The sacro fishery is not just about getting your net around fish.
It's not a question of how much herring can we harvest. It has to be how much high-quality roe can be harvested, and it's all a matter of timing.
This is the second year in a row that spawning has outpaced the commercial harvest. In 2012, fewer herring arrived than forecast, in part because of problems with the forecast model, and in part because of the vagaries of nature that every management biologist contends with.
One of the aspects of fisheries management that I've observed across all species is every year is different. And it's kind of a function of not only the biology, but the behavior, local conditions, the weather. So I don't see any fundamental change in herring spawning behavior here.
One major difference this year, however, is that in 2012, the Alaska Board of Fisheries reserved roughly 10 square miles near the community of Sitka for the subsistence harvest of roe on hemlock. Davidson refers to the restricted area as a refuge, and the herring apparently got the memo.
The first opening was immediately west of the boundary line for this area, and we had identified a fairly substantial volume to as a basis for the first opening, and yet the boats and the fishing in that area, it looks like a lot of the fish that we had been fishing on did move into that zone.
Davidson does not blame the new subsistence area for the failure of the commercial fishery. The department has always attempted to disperse effort, but he says it is certainly a part of the overall picture. Most of this year's major spawn occurred in the area. By agreement of the 48 permit holders, the fishery is now in a co-op with about 10 boats searching for unspawned herring on the grounds between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. anywhere in the Sitka Sound regulatory area. Processors will sample herring in each set as they are caught and report the results to Fish and Game. In the past, co-ops have been used often to mop up the last 500 tons or so of quota. The chances of this co-op getting anywhere near the 6,000 tons needed to fill out this year's harvest are remote, but it has been done. In the late 1980s, early spawning forced the entire fishery into a co-op, and seiners reached their target nonetheless. In 1996, in Bill Davidson's first of 9 years managing the fishery, a major spawn appeared to have ended the season early until a secondary spawn occurred 2 weeks later. The price, Davidson recalls, opened at about $2,000 a ton, and the many seiners who waited it out cashed in. While he holds little hope for repeating those successes, as a scientist, he's also reluctant to foreclose on Sitka Sound herring after two troubled seasons.
It's something we have to not overreact to, but we need to continue to monitor this population, and it's, by all measures, still a healthy resource, and I think it will continue to be.
That is certainly the hope of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and others who depend on herring not just for cash, but as a staple of the subsistence economy in the region. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Tomorrow we'll hear perspective from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska on this year's herring fishery and the success of the subsistence harvest. Getting ready for prom can be a time-consuming process, and finding the right dress isn't easy, especially when you live in rural Alaska. At Sitka's Mount Edgecumbe High, the state-run boarding school, students are getting special treatment by a group of volunteers, most of whom work for Alaska Airlines. KCAW's Ann Bryce has the story.
When Terry Bogren first came to Mount Edgecumbe in Sitka 6 years ago, she didn't know how much of an impact the experience would have on her life.
One of my nieces went to school here, and I was here helping her and her friends get their hair done, do their hair for prom, and some of the girls weren't going because they didn't have dresses and stuff.
She helped a few girls get ready the best she could, but she saw a need that wasn't being met. Girls and boys who wanted to go to the prom didn't, because they had a hard time finding outfits that worked for them and that they could afford. Shortly after, Bogren got a job with Alaska Airlines in Seattle. It was just after the company's 75th anniversary ball.
And I knew that a lot of people had dresses, and most people buy formal dresses and wear them only once.
So Bogren had them dry cleaned and brought them with her to Mount Edgecumbe's next prom.
And their families are all, they're not here, so we're kind of like their fairy godmothers coming in to help them make sure that they have everything they need to have the opportunity to go to the prom if they wish.
She calls it the Prom Princess Program. It started out with just five of Bogren's friends working on alterations, hair, and makeup. Now in its fifth year, there are more than 40 volunteers, most of whom are Alaska Airlines or Horizon employees, who donate their time and resources. It's a few hours before prom, and around 100 students wait in lines at different stations in the main girls' dorm. There are women painting nails under bright lights, curling hair, and applying makeup. There's a flower station where people are putting together boutonnieres and corsages, and a photographer taking their photos after they're all dressed up and ready to go. Debbie Eggemeyer owns Deb's Nails and Tans in Kodiak. She closed her business for the weekend so she could come to Sitka and join in the efforts.
I've been doing this for 30 years. I brought gel polish, so it's the shellac, so it'll stay on them anywhere from 7 to 10 days. They don't have to worry about it. They can't mess it up. I brought a lot of polish.
Many of the students also have a golden hue to their skin from the spray tan they got the day before. They also had the opportunity to be waxed and get haircuts the previous week. Mandy Odenheimer is a station manager for Alaska Airlines in Sitka. She's been a seamstress for this event for the past 3 years. She soon convinced her friend Janet Warner, a retired Alaska Airlines employee and former tailor for Nordstrom, to join her.
Don't you think that look nice?
Does that soften the other beads? Yeah. Because she just said the beads look so cheap. So you should have seen the other dress she was willing to wear because she wouldn't take this one. I was overwhelmed.
The women will have made alterations to more than 130 dresses before the prom begins. The men's warehouse provides tuxes for half the regular rental price, and many Alaska Airlines employees sponsored students, so the guys could have a tux free of cost. Dresses are donated from all over the U.S. Alaska Airlines promotes the program and solicits donations on its website. Terry Bogren co-chairs the airline's Native Employee Network, which now coordinates the Prom Princess program as it continues to grow. Dorm supervisor Ivy Lanthier says getting ready may now be the best part of prom.
In fact, the preparation for prom is becoming bigger than the prom itself. The anticipation of it and the getting ready and the makeup and make-believe and the fantasies about the prom and all the people being here and helping out.
Bogren agrees.
Last year we did have a girl come back early and we were wondering why she came back and we asked her. And she said that the prom was kind of boring, and she said the best part about the prom was getting ready for it.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Currently in Sitka, it's 34 degrees under fair skies. Today it's going to be sunny with highs around 46, northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, becoming sunny. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows around 31, northeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain and snow. Highs around 42, northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And Saturday, rain likely. Highs around 43, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. KCA.